Juan Ortiz coming up, brother. Juan is our, he's the head of our prayer teams and just a real blessing to Central. And he's going to just pray over the night, set things in order. Then John's going to come and let's just focus, all right, and seek God. Love you, brother. Sure, either one. Or just right here is fine.
And Father, tonight we stand in awe, God, for the privilege and honor that we have to be called sons and daughters of Almighty God. Father, your word says that when two or more gather, God, you are present, and we welcome you throughout this service tonight. Father, I pray right now, God, that you would have your way tonight in this service. Lord, meet the needs of your people, I pray. And God, I pray tonight, Lord, that we would have divine appointments with you tonight throughout this service. Lord, I pray that tonight, God, that you would just meet the needs of your people here tonight. God, I don't know what the needs are, but I know that you do. And Lord, I pray tonight that, Lord, that those that come in here hurting and with heavy, heavy hearts, God, that you would meet them at their place. Lord, as your word says, that you inhabit the praises of your people. We praise you and we honor you, God, for who you are in our lives. We love you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, welcome to the 2012 Concert of Prayer, or 2012, I should say. That's a long ways, 2012. Some of you, I think, have been part of a Concert of Prayer in the past, and it's a little bit of an unusual, out-of-the-ordinary approach to a prayer service, but contains various elements that you'll be able to participate in. We've already participated in time of worship. There will be some rich testimonials shared. There will be opportunities for sharing in unison reading of Scripture, and of course, we'll be praying throughout this evening and seeking God for His help and direction, reflecting on the past and also looking toward the future of what God wants to do among us. The Concert of Prayer this time focuses on the new year, and as we prepare for the challenges and changes and responsibilities of a new year and the joys it will bring, and we do well to bring this year to the Lord in prayer that is before us, praying for God's blessing, His provision, His direction, and even redirection at times as we seek to follow His plans and individually and corporately move with Him as a congregation. The celebration of the new year is often time to reflect and look back on what has happened over the past year. For some of us, those months have brought tremendous struggles and challenges, and for some, great loss. We may have lost jobs, or we may have said goodbye to loved ones. Yet through God's help, somehow we endure, and we are here at this place, and now we are able to look back and see His hand at work, even in the hard circumstances of life. And for others, the past year was marked by great joy. Marriage, new child, grandchild, perhaps a new job or ministry opportunity. But regardless of the circumstances, whether high or low, we do well to look back and offer thanks to God for the many incredible blessings that He pours out upon us day by day. He is so faithful. And so through it all, there's one common thread that runs through our lives. We take time to come before Him individually and corporately to pray. And for that reason, there's no better way to begin these months that lie ahead us than by seeking God in prayer. None of us knows what the next week's months will hold for each of us, but God knows. He's already aware, and He will be there with us every step of the way. So may we surrender our lives and surrender our moments, surrender our days and our weeks and months ahead to His care and His blessing. And so as we begin, let's take a few moments to reflect on how God has shown Himself faithful during the challenging moments of last year. And we have two individuals who are coming. They'll be sharing testimony of God's faithfulness and love that has been manifested in their lives over this past year. Deanne Walsh and then Tina Whaley.
Thank you for letting me speak tonight. Both my husband and I had only ever had one surgery in our lives, but last spring, we both found out unexpectedly that we both needed to have surgery. Well, no one wants to hear that, but when you have an insurance deductible of $5,000, it's kind of nice to do them both at once, because then you only have to meet your deductible one time. Well, in the fall, I found out that I needed a hysterectomy, and that would be 3 surgeries in 1 year. Who would have guessed that that was God's way to bless us? Because that meant one $5,000 deductible rather than 3. So, Pastor Jeff, is that what you were talking about this morning? We give to God, He blesses us so we can give to others? Something like that? Well, the hysterectomy came as quite a surprise to us because I've never had any problems at all. But then when you're my age, a hysterectomy really doesn't make any difference anyway. Until they tell you that the tests are showing there could be cancer, and the gynecologist says he wants to have an oncology doctor who specializes in gynecology do the surgery. Well, when he got in there, he was so convinced that it was cancer that he started removing lymph nodes. And they did the tests. The frozen sections came back benign. Well, the doctor said, do it again and make sure you test those spots. They came back benign too. He told my husband afterwards, he said, those were some of the ugliest ovaries I've ever seen. Which says to me, when God can heal what the cancer specialist is convinced is cancer, He is amazing. Yes. And I want to thank you for your prayers, everybody's prayers. I am so grateful that this is a praying church. I was writing Pastor Jeff afterwards, thanking him because he'd come to the hospital to pray with us that morning, like 5:30 in the morning. And I was thanking him and telling him that we were so grateful for a praying church. And I was thanking him because Central had sent a CD of the sermon that I had missed. And this CD was entitled Effective Prayer. Isn't it wonderful when God confirms what He's doing? And we are so blessed here at Central. We have so many different opportunities that our church gives that we can pray. And these help us to intercede, but they also help us to develop an intimate relationship with the Lord. And it's that intimate relationship with the Lord that gets you through times like this. It gives you peace in the middle of it. I want to thank God for His amazing healing. I thank God for the peace He gives. But another amazing thing through this was that in this healing, He has given an undeniable witness of Himself. So that in my work, I see quite a few people, and I can, 30 seconds, can give the testimony of what God has done. And it's amazing that no matter what happens to us, He uses it for His glory. So I just thank you for letting me share our wonderful God.
Good evening. It is difficult for me to even go to the place where I was at this time last year. The agony of grief was so intense, it was impossible for me to imagine that there would ever be an end to it or a life worth living beyond it. The pit was deep, slippery, and compelling. I found that there was an undeniable siren call from that abyss that enticed and attracted me. Because if you stay in that dark place, you can bury your head and hold on to what could have been. By crawling out, you must face the reality of life, and the complexity of that choice cannot be adequately articulated. A little over 3 months after Dennis died, I penned the following. I have railed, begged, cried out, calmly had conversation with, and pleaded with God since August of 2010 to let me see Dennis in a dream, a vision, any way at all. Let me feel his presence, know that he's okay. Okay, okay. Give me assurance of life after death, that heaven is a real place, that you really are. How do you prepare that on a given night it would be over forever? How could I know the overwhelming absence and void that would follow? And how could I know that strength and being resolute were traits that I only thought I had? How could I know that 99 days later, I wouldn't even care if I ever took another breath? Through the most challenging and painful trials that we face in this life, who we are comes through loud and clear. It is hard to face the myriad of imperfections that make up our life, but absolutely necessary in order to come through the fire and continue to be productive as a Christ follower. My ordeal began with shock, which turned into the most agonizing, all-consuming pain I've ever experienced. From there, acceptance that I will never know the answers, but recognizing that somehow it's okay. God in his sovereignty knew the events of my life before I was even born and the plan that he has ahead for me. I have been amazed at his intimate nearness and continual presence during my prayer time and the prayers I am so aware of going up in my behalf by family and friends. It is overwhelming to acknowledge that this great God has a wonderful path for me when there is so much about me that shouts blemished, faulty, weak, inadequate. Through this trust journey, I have recognized the following truths. Life isn't fair, but it's not personal. Sometimes it's during the most challenging situations of our life that deep faith develops. The Holy Spirit is always available to offer assistance. We just need to ask. We must think supernaturally and take our requests to the Lord. We must choose joy through our difficulties. We must follow God wholeheartedly, even when we are unsure of what is ahead. We must trust God and rest in his sovereignty. And lastly, the necessity to look beyond our ever-changing circumstances to the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I've learned that prayer is vital, and I end with Psalm 119, 169 through 173, which sums it up for me. Let my cry come right into your presence, God. Provide me with the insight that comes only from your word. Give my request your personal attention. Rescue me on the terms of your promise. Let praise cascade off my lips. After all, you've taught me the truth about life. And let your promises ring from my tongue. Every order you've given is right. Put your hand out and steady me, since I've chosen to live by your counsel.
Praise God. These wonderful testimonies remind us, don't they, that God truly is faithful. And if time would allow, there would be many others, I know, who could share testimony of God's faithfulness in many ways. While we sometimes struggle to see in the hour of loss, in the hour of darkness, what is happening and why, we can affirm the words of the psalmist in Psalm 136, verse 1, and I believe you have it on the screen there. Would you read that in unison with me? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Oh, Lord God, we do indeed give you thanks this evening. Lord, we thank you for these marvelous testimonies of the reach of your grace in situations and circumstances of physical and emotional healing, Lord, that have been so outstanding examples of your love and grace. We praise you, Lord, for your hand that reaches into our circumstances, even when we cannot see the end from the beginning, when we don't understand what's happening, and yet, Lord, we can trust in you and trust in the guidance of your Spirit, that tender, sweet presence that comes to us in the darkness of the night hours and lifts us up and bears us up, Lord, so that we can move forward. Thank you, O God, for your great faithfulness. Thank you, O Lord, for the many times that we can all testify of your faithfulness to us day by day, every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, and we praise you and worship you for that this evening and throughout this year in your blessed and holy name. Praise God. And now let us approach this new year with hearts committed toward prayer, looking forward to God's power and direction filling the months to come, and affirming every day the instructions given to us in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Would you read that with me this evening? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, but in always acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Amen. While we are incapable of knowing what the new year is going to hold, we approach it with the assurance that we can never go wrong when we place our trust squarely in our Lord. So it's with that attitude of trust, bathed in a commitment and submission to his will and goodness, that we now look to God in prayer for our church, for the lost, both in our community and around the world, and for our own lives. Amen.
Our unity as a body in Christ, as well as our effectiveness in ministry throughout this year, really is directly dependent upon our willingness to continually come to the Lord in prayer. Ephesians 4, 11 through verse 13 reminds us of our mission and our vision as we fulfill our roles in the body of Christ. Would you read this with me in unison? It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And so as we face this year, let us look to the Lord in prayer. There's been a need that has just been presented to us. Jim and Barb Reisner's daughter, Jennifer, gave birth to a little baby boy, Chase, today. He is 3 pounds and 9 ounces. And let's look to the Lord in prayer right now for this life, that God will help this child and those who are attending to this child, that he may grow up to serve the Lord. Would you pray with me now? Hallelujah. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are touched, the Bible says, with the feelings of our infirmities. Lord, you know what we have need of before we even ask. And Lord, we bring this new member, Lord, this young child, Chase, to you. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will take this tiny little infant, and we pray, Lord, that the lungs will develop. And Lord, that, oh Lord, this child will not only just cling to life, but Lord, we would like to believe as we pray together that he will thrive, Heavenly Father. reached out in that hospital right now in Jesus' name. Be with Jennifer, I pray, and be with Barb, Lord, and Jim as they look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, we continue to pray for our church, and we focus first of all upon the anointing and wisdom, protection for our pastors and leaders. Lord, we are thankful for gifted leaders that you've given to us. But Lord, even with their giftings, Lord, they need your anointing. And we as a congregation, Heavenly Father, pray tonight that your special blessing, which is your anointing, may rest upon them, protect them, guide them, lead them. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will give them special insights and favor in our congregation and in the community. Oh, God, rest upon them, we pray, as never before. Lord, as a congregation, we also pray for the unity of the Spirit. As a congregation, that we might come together with one purpose, one mind, in ministry and in work and in unity in our worship and in our praise. Lord, I pray when things would come up that would have a tendency for us to be negative, Lord, or perhaps make a complaint. I pray, Lord, that you would seal our lips. I pray, Lord, that we would be founders, Lord, that we would look to the Word of God, that how pleasant and great it is for brothers and sisters to be in unity. Bring us into one in word and in worship and in ministry, I pray, Heavenly Father. Lord, I pray for the anointing of ministry and discipleship within the church. Not just our leaders, but for every one of us, Lord, who have some kind of a ministry, Lord. Anoint us, Lord. Oh, God, may we not do it for self-gratification, but, Lord, may we do it as a gift, as a sweet-smelling savor to you, Heavenly Father. Anoint everything, every teacher, every leader, every small group, every emphasis, Lord, of our church this coming 2012, we pray. Lord, I pray for strength and power for those facing great need in our community, for those who need employment, for those who need encouragement, for those who need better employment, for those who are lonely, Lord. Whatever it is, Lord Jesus, I pray that your strength and your power will rest upon our congregation, Heavenly Father. And finally, Lord, we ask that you would help us to be salt and light. Lord, church is more than just a few hours on a Sunday or on a Wednesday. But Lord, it's 24/7. And we are representatives of you as well as representatives of Central. Lord, I just pray in the workplace, in our environment, in our neighborhood, wherever it may be, Heavenly Father, I pray that we would be light to a darkened world. I pray that we would be salt to give savor to those who need to know and understand a better relationship with you. I ask this in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen.
As Brother Jerry has just led us in prayer as he ended, he talked about how we are to be salt and light. We are the church. We are unified. That is the prayer. That is the goal. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. But the Lord wants us to look outside. He wants us to have his heart. We're surrounded by spiritual needs. Maybe in your own family, there are people who do not know Christ. In your workplace, in the community, and around the world. And it's a fundamental part of our role as believers in Jesus Christ to be missional in our mindset and to pray for the lost and ask the Lord to use us to reach the lost people around us, people who don't have relationship with him. The words of Micah the prophet are compelling as to the action that we are to take. The words are on the screen. Let's read them together. He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. As well, the familiar words of Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20 remind us of our calling. Let's read together the words of Jesus that are on the screen. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We're going to have Bruce Snavely and Sharon Faison come now, and they're going to share some testimony of remarkable things that the Lord has been doing through the oil change ministry and the food pantry ministry.
In 2011, our oil change outreach team became more intentional in encouraging prayer for these single mom families. We had almost 300 families come through the Fusion Center in the year 2011, averaging 30 to 35 vehicles per month. I think we did this 10 different months. And, you know, there's just a very wide range of needs represented with these single mom families. But we started offering them a prayer card to fill out. And I would say close to 80% of these moms wrote just incredible needs down on these cards. But, you know, we serve an incredible God, don't you? And this list then was prayed for by the team during the week and then also by the church during the prayer times offered at the church. And then in November, we started asking them three questions in a simple questionnaire. First, would you like help in job skill assessment and resume writing? Number two, would you like help in budgeting, financial matters? And then number three, would you like help in a relationship with God? What was incredible, we had a couple families, a couple moms say they wanted help in job skill assessment and budgeting concerns. But then 20% said they wanted help in a relationship with God. And 2012, we want to be a time when the kingdom of God advances in the lives of these single mom families. You know, it's more than just an oil change. It really is. We want to go beyond that and allow that an opportunity. You know, and it does give us an opportunity, an open door to talk to these single moms. We have a great group of ladies within the Fusion Center. While the guys are changing oil on the outside, really the main focus happens in the Fusion Center with these ladies from Central, talking with these single moms, praying with them, having conversation with them. And then throughout the month, our team leader, she responds back to these ladies in conversations throughout the month. So there's ongoing relationships that are building. Some are coming to the class at 10:30 for single moms, Moms with a Purpose is what it was called. And there's just great things happening in that realm. But pray with us that we'll reach beyond the oil change and we'll see ladies and their families, their kids come to Christ. Amen.
pastor asked me a couple weeks ago, he said, what makes you keep volunteering with the food pantry? What is it that grabs your attention for that ministry? And I simply said, it just captures my heart. I don't know, maybe part of it's the mom in me. I don't like to see people hungry, and hunger is such a basic need. We're all hungry. It's no respecter of persons. I'm pretty sure today after church I heard I'm hungry a couple times from members of my family. But we were privileged to sit down and have a wonderful meal together because we were able to do that. But when you're not in a position to meet the need for yourself or for your family to provide a meal, that's pretty discouraging, to the point of really distress and discouragement. I look in the faces of moms every month and see moms who wish they could have more to provide for their family. So it's been a ministry that has really grown dear to my heart, and it's been a joy to be one of the volunteers who serve in that role. It's cool because I feel like we literally are Jesus' hand extended. We sing that old chorus, "Oh, to be his hand extended." That's what we're doing. We're Jesus' hand extended to those who have a very basic need. We serve, we process paperwork because that's all logistically we have to do that. But it's more than sitting across the table to complete paperwork and process the order and get their food ready for them, and someone very graciously carries it out to their car. But it's gone beyond that, and that's what one of the joys has been for me, long-term building of relationships. I have learned that each of the families that are there, the faces of those people have a name. They have a family, they have a story. And many times, besides just processing what happens at food pantry, I'm able to reach across the table and hold hands with them and let them just use me as a sounding board. Let them, sometimes they just want to share their journey. They want you to know maybe why they're where they are right now. Or sometimes it's just a very special need that they want to share with someone, and it is a complete joy to pray with them. And even though I might not have all the questions to their answers of maybe why they're having the challenges they're having or why life has maybe hit them in a difficult spot, I have Jesus to share with them. And he knows them. He knows where they are. He is ready with open arms to hear their heart's cry. And people have thanked, and I'm one of many. We have had the joy of praying with people, and this is a night concentrating on prayer. And so as you think of ministries such as our food pantry, and it really is a team ministry, so many of you have contributed financially for us to purchase food. Many do the shopping. Many stock shelves. Our custodial workers work to set up tables and chairs and get everything in line for us to begin the evening's work. And now we will do it on Saturday along with our other community engagement ministries. And we'll just continue to be Jesus' hands extended from you to us to those that come to be ministered to. And so thank you for being part of the team. And on this night of prayer, remember to pray for the food pantry, not just for the provision of food, although that is a wonderful thing. But let's pray for the families that come with needs beyond their hunger. And let's remember that God knows where they are, and they are as special to him as any one of us. And so, as Central, we can be salt and light in our community. Thank you.
These are wonderful answers to prayer, because our church has been praying for these ministries and other outreaches. And so we really want to focus on praying tonight for the lost. And this is something that we do here as a corporate body, as the church, but this is something each one of us can do in our own personal prayer times as well. we're going to focus on three specific areas. And I'm going to start first with praying for what we've long called our unsaved loved ones, persons in your family who don't yet know Christ, who've not yet decided to follow him. Next, we're going to pray for the lost who are right around us in our community and in our jobs. And then we're going to pray for the lost who do not know Jesus around the world. Please partner with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that this idea of reaching the lost originates with you. This is your very heart. This was your very purpose, your mission in coming to this world to bring men and women and children into relationship with you. And we pray, Lord Jesus, for the persons closest to each one of us. Probably everyone here knows someone in our families who hasn't yet chosen to live for you. And God, we lift them up to you tonight. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to their hearts, even as we're praying at this very moment, God, that their hearts would be drawn to you, Lord Jesus. We thank you because we know you love those individuals even more than we could imagine loving them. And you are indeed, as the poet long ago called, the hound of heaven. You're not going to give up on them. You're going to keep on trying to reach them by your Holy Spirit. Lord, we also pray for the people in our communities and in our jobs and in our neighborhoods who don't know you. Those who are close enough to hear our voice, to see our lives, or to visit our church, Lord. We pray, Father, you would use each one of us here, no matter our age or our station in life. Use us, Lord, to be a testimony of who you are before those who do not know you. Father, we pray again for a divine work of the Holy Spirit in drawing people to you, to your word, and to churches and to our homes, Lord, to come and talk about you and to be prayed with so they can receive you, Lord. Father, we pray for the lost who do not know you, who live in countries around the world. In many of those countries, they have opportunity to hear your word from many churches in their communities, and maybe through the media, Lord, or having a Bible in their homes, and maybe they've just not yet turned to you. And we pray for the conviction of your Holy Spirit that they would make a decision to follow you, Lord. But we pray also for the lost who've never yet heard your name, who don't know what a Bible is, who don't know anything about churches, Lord God. And we pray in the name of Jesus that divinely you would get your message of truth to them, God. We know you use various means. You use human vessels, Lord. And we pray you would raise up more missionaries to go and tell and live your life before people. And we know you work divinely as well. You give dreams and visions. And God, we just pray that you'll help us with our part, Lord. We know that you want us to pray, and that is what we want to do tonight, God, to beseech you, Lord, on behalf of the lost who do not know you. We thank you that you love them. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
I smiled when I first read what John had written out, the following words, that the coming year will bring unknown and perhaps unexpected spiritual challenges and victories into our lives. God may call us to follow a new path or to surrender something known and comfortable in favor of taking a step of faith. And I smile at that because May 16th, a year and a half ago, was my first Sunday night here, and a few of you were here that night, and because of an ice storm. And aren't you thankful this January there's no ice storm? Maybe we should pause and just have revival together tonight over that, because I've heard of that infamous ice storm. But it had been delayed and you couldn't have church that night, and so we came in May. And that very first Sunday night, I believe it was Sharon Fazen, my secretary, that suggested, would you like to maybe have the prayer service that we planned for 5 months ago? And I said, I'd love to do that. And so our first Sunday night was a night very similar to this, and I just smiled when I read that, because we never know what 2012 is going to hold, do we? And it could be a new path, as John writes for us. It could be something that moves us from what is known and very comfortable into that that's uncomfortable, but we walk in faith tonight. And so our closing area that we want to pray in corporate prayer is that, as not knowing what the future holds, we do know the important thing is that we grow spiritually in this year, that we need the Lord. Amen? And so if you look to the screen, a great verse for us to look at, a little passage of 2 Peter chapter 1, and this is what we're going to close in our focus of corporate prayer tonight, is this verse, or set of verses, 2 Peter 1, verse 5. Could we read it out loud together? It says, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love." Now just pause just for a moment. Look at the qualities that Peter says we need to add to our faith: goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Now let's read on. "For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Then a little bit later, verse 18. "So grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever." Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Let's stand together tonight if you would. And we're going to pray over a few prayer points. Would you just go there with me, if you will, in your mind and your heart as we stand. And let's just surrender this new year to Him. We don't know what's going to come, but Lord, we want to grow in You this year. And Heavenly Father, we bring our spiritual lives to You, Lord. We bring our hearts, we bring our minds, we bring the future. We bring, Lord, knowing, God, that You are our foundation. And so, Father, we pray that we will grow in this new year, God. And I thank You earlier, as Jerry prayed, that we would guard our mouths and we would guard our minds and ways that we may be used of the enemy, Lord. Instead, we pray that we will be the people of God that You want us to be, Lord. And so we pray for a greater passion in this new year. Lord, give us a passion for worship. May it go beyond the style. May it go beyond the song. May it go beyond. But Lord, may it be that we have an opportunity to worship You. And Lord, I pray we'd have a passion for prayer and a passion for intimacy with You, God. In each one of our lives, may we live the Sermon on the Mount, that we go to a quiet place, that no one sees us, Lord, and we close the door and we enter in with You, Lord. I pray that all of us would grow in our quiet time with You, Lord, in this new year. We pray as well, Lord, that we will discern and know what Your plan is for us. And Lord, we just yield to You, and we know that Your ways are so far beyond our ways, and Your thoughts are so far above our thoughts, as far as the heaven is above the earth. But Lord, we pray that You will drop into our hearts wisdom, and You will drop into our hearts a discernment, that we will know the way that we are to walk in. And Lord, at times that we are lost, or at times that we just don't know, we pray, God, in those hours in 2012, that, Lord, You will speak clearly to us and that we will know what Your path is for us, Lord. Give us discernment. Give us wisdom. Your word says that if we ask for wisdom, You do not hold it back. And so, Lord, we claim James 1 in this new year, Lord, that we will have the wisdom of God. We pray that You would give it to us, Lord. We also pray, Lord, that You would help us to resist temptation and doubt, Lord. And there may be things in our lives, Lord, that we may come and the enemy may attack. And Lord, I pray that we will stand firm. We will stand firm against the enemy in this year. And that, Lord, we will not give in to temptation, Lord. Protect us, Lord, even as Your prayer instructed us, Lord. Deliver us from evil. We pray that You would do that in year 2012. As well, Lord, if You choose to lead us into new and unexpected areas of ministry, Lord, we just pray that we'll be open vessels for You this year. Lord, whatever You may lay on our heart, even as we just heard of these Saturdays, as everything is brought to Saturday morning, Lord, I pray in that convenience of that, that we will be faithful to oil change, we'll be faithful to the food pantry, we'll be faithful to adopt a block, Lord. And God, even areas like this, it may be the nursery, it may be something outside of our church, but Lord, I pray that each of us would be open to say, Lord, here I am, send me to whatever area it is, God. Maybe something we've never done before, but this year you'll lay it upon our heart. May we be open to you. We pray, Lord, for health and protection and provision now over our church, over our individual lives, Lord, over our families. God, give us all that we need for life and godliness as your word promises you'll do. God, help us in this new year. And Lord, in closing, in this section of this prayer, we just pray that we will be brought into the image of you, Jesus. That, Lord, is what your word says. Romans 8 is our destiny, that we be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, right now, would you lift your hands with me tonight? Lord, we open our hearts to you. And we say, Lord, change us. Change us in 2012. Father, change us into the image of your Son. We yield to you right now. Forgive us of our sins. Cleanse our hearts, O Lord. Anything, maybe things we've held in this year of 2011, Lord, we let it go for the new year of 2012. And we pray, Lord, that you would move us, you would sanctify us, you would separate us, you would do a work of holiness in all of our hearts and our lives, Lord. If there be anything that has entangled us, anything that has bound us, Lord, release us tonight, we pray. Release us, Lord, that we would be set free of those things that hold us back, that we would look to you, Jesus, as the author and the perfecter of our faith, Lord, who for the joy set before you endured the cross, scorning its shame. Lord, may we look to you. You've done everything we need, Lord. So just now, work in us and bring us more and more into you, we pray, in this new year, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's stand together tonight. Some are finishing praying, which is great. Amen. 2012 is going to be a good year because we serve a good God. Amen. We can commit it to Him. Let's do that as we close. I'm just going to pray, and then we're going to pray the Lord's Prayer together. And as we walk through it, What a remembrance of how it covers, doesn't it cover everything that we need to pray about? Amen? And we're going to do that Wednesday night. That'll be a piece of as we will pray Wednesday night. But we'll close with that just in unison in a moment. But Father, thank you for this night. Thank you, Lord, that we've joined together. We've prayed for our church. We've prayed for our community, our world. And Lord, we don't want to forget a need that was brought this morning. I just think of it now. Father, I pray for that former Chi Alpha director of Berkeley University in California that right now is inoperable, a cancer of some type. And Lord, we lift him to you right now. I pray, Father, that you will intervene. We pray for your purpose and your will to be done in his life, Lord. And you know him and you know the situation, Lord. And that friend of his that brought that need to us, God, we don't want to forget that tonight. So, Lord, we do bring this brother to you and ask you to intervene in his life and his body. Touch him, we pray. God, you are able. We know nothing is beyond you, Lord. It's so easy for you to heal the sick. And, Lord, we would ask you to do it tonight. Touch him, we pray, God. Give him a miracle in this new year. Give him a miracle, Lord. And awaken him as they talked about. He needs awaken, Lord, that he can receive the medication that he needs, Lord. And otherwise, he's not able. But, Lord, we pray you would not only awaken him, but you would just give him a miracle to eradicate that cancer out of his body. In Jesus' name, and we'll thank you and praise you for it. We thank you, Lord. Father, as we enter into a new year together, Lord, then we just give this to you. I just looked over, saw Dr. Denbo, Lord. It makes me think of our schools, and we thank you for CBC. And Lord, we know in all the transitions, God, just blanket that campus with your presence. Be with the faculty, Lord. Be with the students, God. Meet all of their needs, we pray. Give them a joy. Give them a confidence that you are God and you are in control of matters for them, Lord. Bless Dr. Denbo, Lord. Be with his entire staff, Lord, and just help each one of them, we pray, in Jesus' name. Lord, be with Evangel University. We pray a blessing upon Dr. Spence and the great faculty there as well, Lord. Just be with all of the teachers. Be, Lord, with the students. Give them a great semester. We pray, Father, for AGTS. Thank you for Dr. Klaus and his staff. And we pray as well for them, Lord, that you would just cover them. And we pray, God, that in all of the plans of bringing these schools together, Lord, we submit it to you, God. And we pray that you will work in your amazing way, God. Make it smooth. Make it unified. Let it glorify you, Lord, we pray. And just be with our schools, oh God, in this time. And in this semester, may it be a good time, Lord. Father, we pray as we close, Lord, just pray that this year each one of us would enter it with faith, with expectancy. And Lord, I pray for that passion that I believe you want us to have as a church in a greater dimension. That, Lord, you would give us a passion for worship, for prayer, for the lost, for one another. God, may we have passion. That can be birthed by your Holy Spirit within us. May we be open to that, and may we practice it then, Lord. May we be passionate people for you. We thank you for this year, Lord. And we go into it with hope, with great hope in who you are, that you hold it, Lord. Let's pray together, if you would. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's just lift our hands and give him praise as we close tonight. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. We praise you, God. We praise you. We expect of you, God. We live by faith in your 2012, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Let your kingdom be advanced through us, we pray. In Jesus' name, and all for your glory, all for your glory and honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And everybody said amen tonight.